Hello, Elwood Glover and an echo of an era. A pop era, you might say. The era of Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra in the days of his association with the RCA Victor Company. Arnold Shaw, who was a writer of considerable talent, once described Tommy Dorsey in three rather interesting words: truculent, sardonic, off horn. But on stage, Dorsey was the sentimental gentleman of swing. With his talented brother, Jimmy, Tommy Dorsey came out of the coal town in Pennsylvania, of Scranton, Pennsylvania, and he gigged with the local Scranton Sirens. He toured the country with Paul Whiteman, Red Nichols, and other bands, and by 1933, the brothers Dorsey had their own orchestra, which included such names as Bob Crosby and Ray McKinley. And Glenn Miller, incidentally. 2 years later, after innumerable flare-ups, Tommy walked off the bandstand at the Glen Island Casino to form his own band. Now, I'm Getting Sentimental Over You, previously recorded with his brother, and the opening track on this album became, with its unaccompanied opening trombone notes, the most nostalgic identification in big band dance remotes. Just see if it doesn't happen to you. Yes, he was a Jekyll and Hyde character, as was described a moment ago. Off horn, he could be the nastiest man in the business. On horn, the most lyric quality that you would swear he had the soul of an angel. That was the enigmatic Tommy Dorsey. What flashbacks these songs bring. Tommy's remote broadcast from Frank Daly's Meadowbrook across the bridge in New Jersey. The electric Mink and Tux openings at the Astor Roof near Times Square. The ear-catching pied piping of Three Men and a Girl, Joe Stafford. And Bunny Berrigan's tremendous horn, cracking jazzily behind a Dorsey solo. The date when Tommy fired the whole band, including vocalist Jack Leonard, for imbibing beer on the bandstand. Oh, the stories are legend. But so is the music. And this, in its own way, was probably the most history-making record in the latter part of the 1930s. Tommy Dorsey's Marie. Strangely enough, that record is famous today for two of the most prominent sidemen of that time, Bunny Berrigan's incredible trumpet solo that since that time has been arranged for as many as 3 to 5 trumpets, note for note, because it was one of the most spectacular takeoff choruses that was ever played. And then you heard Bud Freeman for a few moments on tenor. Dorsey's Marie. Oh, what words to describe that era, 1935 to 1944. An era of chugging big band togetherness, with the smoothest silk trombone mooing over the brass punctuation and rising and falling reeds, tremulous, high-timber tenor voices undulating against rhythmic glee club riffing. And the dancers, Susie Q-ing or Big Appling over to the raised bandstand to mill around and sigh and gawk. It was several weeks ago that we had a session of echoing the era of Don Redman and the McKinney Cotton Picker Organization, in which they too had these jazzed up choral backgrounds. So the idea was not original with Dorsey. I'm sure that they were inspired by some of the early records of the late 20s, early 30s that gave Dorsey a whole new identification. So there they were, Marie and Song of India, I guess probably the first million seller for the Dorsey Orchestra in the latter part of the 1930s. And as we used to say in the disc jockey days or dance remote days, one good tune deserves another. So if he could do it with Marie, he did it with who? Talked about the big selling records of Marie and Song of India. One of the quirks of the record business of that time was the too brilliant thinking in putting two good tunes back to back. And in today's record field, that is an unthinkable error, to put Marie and Song of India, two such potential hits, and therefore carve the record sales in half. Was one of those things that I guess nobody has ever heard of the man who decided on that backing. He probably went into the long-lost limbo of the record business. Better he should have done something like Boogie Woogie. Now, that one was a million-dollar seller, multi-million-dollar seller, and nobody cared what was on the back. Therefore, there was really no great loss. Tommy Dorsey's Boogie Woogie.
Thank you.
was recorded in September of 1938. Tommy Dorsey's Boogie Woogie, with the trombone section consisting of Tommy, Les Jenkins, and Mo Zudikoff, who ironically decided to emulate his great leader at a later date, change his name to Buddy Morrow, and to play almost as equally a sweet trombone. The trumpet section was an all-star cast in Boogie Woogie: Charlie Spivak, Yank Lawson, and Lee Castaldo. And the saxophones, as far as I can recall and as far as I can identify through the hieroglyphics supplied here: Freddie Stultz, Skeets Herford, Johnny Mintz, Jaime Scherzer, and arranger Dean Kincaid. The pianist, emulating the era of Jess Stacy and Bob Zirke, Howard Smith. And so that was a landmark, September of 38, with Dorsey's Boogie Woogie. And then came the Hawaiian war chant. Those were the days before Mo Pertle joined Glenn Miller, where he was gaining experience with the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra, the Hawaiian war chant, with Yank Lawson's plunger trumpet. Classics of their kind, the Tommy Dorsey era, on Echoes of an Era tonight, 1935 to 1944. This is called I'll Be Seeing You, and if I may use the phrase, I think you will follow the picture as we identify the singer. There was the night when Tommy's manager, Bob Burns, went from Chicago's Palmer House over to the Sherman where a lean young kid was singing with Harry James. And he invited him for an audition to Tommy's hotel room and asked him to run through a few songs. You can say that a curtain drops there, and there's a small passage of time. The Bobby Soxers sighing and screaming and swooning over the lean kid's vocals. Again, an era was created. That one and four other ballads made 1940 a peak year for Tommy Dorsey's orchestra. That one, I'll Be Seeing You, East of the Sun, Whispering, Our Love Affair, and I'll Never Smile Again. The Pied Pipers had been an outstanding vocal group, but with Sinatra's tenor on top, they acquired an ear-tingling iridescence in sustaining a long ballad line. Sinatra proved himself the equal of the man whose trombone taught him the art of changing textures and breathing through a note. This is the immortal I'll Never Smile Again.
What good would it do for tears would fill my eyes, my heart would realize that
I suppose no other record except those of Glenn Miller's can bring back the nostalgia of World War II. That was right at the very top of one of the great heart-tuggers of that time. Never Smile Again. That was recorded in May of 1940. The Dorsey Band was many things, including the vocals of Jack Leonard and the Pied Pipers and Sinatra, and the inspired jazz-inflected instrumentalism of such virtuoso performers as Bunny Berrigan, Ziggy Elman, Yank Lawson, Charlie Spivak, and Joe Bushkin, who played the sentimental Celeste you just heard in the Never Smile Again record, and such reed men as Buddy DeFranco and Johnny Mintz, drummers Davy Tough, Buddy Rich, Mo Pirtle. But most of all, the Dorsey Band was the great, great mellow horn, the musicianship of the sentimental, temperamental man in those steel-rimmed glasses. How those memories do flow back.
Whispering while you cuddle near me, so no one can hear me. Each little whisper seems to cheer me. I know it's true, there's no one, dear, but you. Whispering why you'll never leave me. Why you'll never grieve me.
Whisper and say that you believe me.
Whispering that I love you. Thank you.
and say that you believe me.
Whisper that you love me, 'cause I'm in love with you.
Well, that got the Dorsey Band into the 40s, all right. Whispering. By 1942, when Sinatra parted with Dorsey, in a none-too-friendly fashion, incidentally, Dorsey enlarged the band to include a sizable string section. Street of Dreams and There Are Such Things exemplify a sort of a swing-with-strings romanticism that later became basic in the Sinatra-Nelson Riddle collaboration. It's interesting, too, that this was the height of the sentimentality of the Glenn Miller Orchestra, with the Modernaires and Ray Eberle. And so Dorsey, too, had his way of grabbing the hearts of the dancers of those war-torn years. Listen to the embellishments in There Are Such Things.
A heart that's true.
Someone to whisper, darling, you're my guiding star. Not caring what you own, but just what you are.
A peaceful sky.
It's a glossy, chrome-plated age in which we live. We can't appreciate such harmonic sounds as the Pied Pipers. I have a list of the Dorsey personnel during the period that we're saluting tonight, 35 to 44. They total 104 musicians. It would take me 104 minutes to go into each and every one of them. But briefly, if you are a connoisseur of personnels and lived by the personnel changes of the big band era, just note some of these names that were with Dorsey over those few years. Pee Wee Irwin, Lee Castaldo, Max Kaminsky, Bunny Berrigan, Clyde Hurley, Ziggy Elman, Ray Lynn, Jimmy Zito, Yank Lawson and Charlie Spivak and Zeke Zarchi. And in the saxophone section, Skeets Herford and Freddie Stultz and Johnny Mintz, Jaime Scherzer, Dean Kincaid, Bud Freeman, Don Lotus, Buddy DeFranco. As for guitarists, Carmen Mastrin, Clark Yoakam, and Benny Heller held down that chair for a few years. As for pianists, Howard Smith of the Boogie Woogie fame And Joe Bushkin, Milt Raskin, and Bob Kitsis were prominent in the piano chair. The string bassists were few. Gene Traxler, Sid Weiss, Phil Stevens were prominently featured. As for trombones, well, you could do like the trumpets, and they run down almost alphabetically with Dorsey, Les Jenkins, George Arris, Jimmy Skiles, Nelson Riddle, Mo Zudikoff, or Buddy Marl, if you prefer. And so it goes. The drummers, three in all in this period, 35 to 44, of considerable fame, Mo Pertle, Davy Tough, and Buddy Rich. And so I could go on for many, many more minutes. But near the end of the program, saluting Tommy Dorsey on this Echo of an Era, we cannot miss out on this one. Another one of those big sellers, with still another vocal group known as the Sentimentalists. Tommy Dorsey continued to fight the battle of the big bands, and up into 1953, he made peace with his brother Jimmy. And once again, there was a Dorsey Brothers Orchestra. Tommy even made contact with the new teen generation through a television program headlined by comic Jackie Gleason, in which he gave exposure to rock and roll superstars of that era. In the same year, 1956... Tommy Dorsey died in his sleep at the age of 51, leaving the leadership of the reunited band to his brother Jimmy. But he, too, was to pass on. Jimmy Dorsey outlived his brother by less than 6 short months. Our Echo of the Era of Tommy Dorsey tonight. Janet Roberts, our operator, and Fred Augerman, our producer, with Elwood Glover sighing over the memories. And then came Cy Oliver.